Well, good morning, Crossroads Arlington. How are you guys doing? Oh, so glad to see you online. So glad to have you guys in the room. Thanks for being with us this morning. Happy Father's Day to the dads, either watching online or going to watch later, or the fathers in the room. We're so excited that you're here this morning. We're gonna have a great morning in store. We're going to have a great worship song, a great sermon, and we're just continuing right along in the book of Revelations. So glad that you are with us. Let me pray for our morning. God, thanks so much for this morning, and Lord, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to meet and gather again, Lord, as a church body and as a family, and Lord, as we want to honor you with our blessing, Lord, with our singing, with our hearts, with our adoration, God, may our hearts and souls and spirits cry out and that you would be blessed and held high, Lord. And as we celebrate Father's Day, God, we can't go very far without saying, Lord, you are such a good, good Father. And Lord, we're so thankful for your role in our lives, and Lord, how you've blessed us with the gift of your Son and your Spirit. May you be honored and glorified, and may we continue to get a larger revelation, a larger picture of what you're up to in the end times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tanya.
Imagine every heart. I don't see it, he's working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Online, I'm sorry, I do need a mic. I love you, everybody that's online. I love you. I hadn't forgot about you. I'm sorry. There's people in the room, man. That's who God is, man. A way maker. We were praying before service starts this morning, Joe and the squad, and I just remember saying, God, there's been times in my life, a lot of times, where I didn't know how I was going to overcome a situation or a circumstance or how a bill was going to get paid or how I was going to get back on my feet. Or there was times where I thought me and my family were going to be homeless, you know. And somehow, some way, God provided, or he did something that was beyond me, right? And so when I think about that phrase, that word, because I'm into words. Anybody into words? When I think about way maker, that has nothing to do with me making my own way. That has to do with some kind of supernatural, spiritual intervention on my behalf for my benefit that I probably didn't deserve in the first place. But God kind of got in my life and made a way for me to get to the place where I am right now. And that song is so powerful that he is that way maker. That miracle worker. Sometimes we think miracle is something exploding or something coming out of nothing. A miracle is sometimes when you just didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to work out and something happened. That's a miracle, and he's still working miracles. It may not be that your broken leg just shoots back together, but somehow, some way, your lights are still on. There's food in the cabinet. Maybe you got sick and you became well again. Maybe a relationship that was broken got back together. Or something you've been praying for years actually manifested and happened. That's our God. And on Father's Day, that's our daddy. That's our spiritual daddy. And I love him, man. I don't know about you. And he's worthy of worship and praise, man. See, y'all make some noise for our daddy, man. Amen. Amen. So, I know Joe has something special in store for us. He's going to share. He's prayed up. Why don't y'all extend a hand to him as he comes up?
Are you using this or your own?
I'm on.
Okay, all right.
Good morning. It's great. Hey, we're getting more and more people showing up. We've got our mask-only section, and we've got everyone else sitting on this side, and this is wonderful. Wow. And I want to tell you, that song, Waymaker, the reason we sang that song was, there's a 15-year-old girl that goes to our church that last Friday, she had a surgery. Her right leg was 3 inches shorter than her left leg. Okay? So you thought the hip surgery was bad. They went in, am I right? It's the right leg that was shorter. They went in and they cut the femur, and they put an extension. I'm going to just kind of summarize it. I was part of the surgery, by the way. I was on that day. I was doing anesthesia. I'm just kidding. They somehow have begun a process of extending her leg, okay? And she's here in church this morning. Now, she went to the youth class, but she asked, she was trying to come. She had the surgery a week ago Friday. She was trying to come last Sunday. I said, no, you can't do that. Parents were like, yeah, she can't. And I said, we want to do something for you. Tell me a song that you'd like. And she said, Waymaker. So that was in honor of Carly, wonderful 15-year-old girl who is really showing us about she really loves the Lord and she thinks it's important to gather with God's people, and I'm really proud of her. So if you're here gathering, you're following in the spirit of Carly, and if you're at home watching live, now if you watch it like tonight, I'm going to give you a little credit. If you're watching it on Thursday or Friday, I'm like, come on. Come on. He's the center. He, not church. He is the center of our lives. Amen. Let's keep living that way regardless of the obstacles that are in our way. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So we are going to continue our study through the book of Revelation. And we have a study guide done by one of our pastors, Gino. And it's designed for you to continue reading through the book of Revelation. We're going to go through chapters 8 and 9 of the book of Revelation. And so if you want to follow along, you can pick that up, one of those on the way out. And if you're watching online, you can download that. But it's a little study guide to help you to go into the scriptures for yourself. But let's kind of jump in. Last week, Tyler did a great job as he took us through Revelation chapter 7. As John, he saw a great multitude standing before the throne of God. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to put the verses up for you, but I want you to sit back and I want you to listen because Revelation is a vision that was given to John, one of Jesus' disciples. He was probably about 90 years old when he received the vision. He was on the island of Patmos as a prisoner. They kind of exiled him to an island. And the Lord gave, this was Jesus's, of all the disciples, he was the one that he was described as the one who Jesus loved. He was a very close friend of Jesus. And here he saw Jesus die. He saw him resurrected, all of that stuff. But he became a prisoner for Jesus Christ, gladly. And he's on this island, and he was the disciple that lived the longest after Jesus' resurrection. He lived the longest. He was probably the last living disciple. And God lets him see a vision so that you and I would know things that were going to come. See, now every generation since Jesus' the first generation thought Jesus was coming in their lifetime. And I believe with all my heart God wants it to be that way. Because otherwise some of us get favoritism, you know? So do you think, my wife asked me yesterday, honey, She said, honey, do you think that we're in the last days? And I said, yes, I do. But I could be wrong. But I really do. Now, I do think that every generation has thought that, but they were all wrong, right? I really do believe it's soon. But whether it is or isn't, we're supposed to be living as if we're ready. And that's what this study in Revelation is all about. It's to help you get ready for his any moment of return. All right. Now, after we go through today's two chapters, you're going to hope that I'm right in that the rapture of the church takes place before the seven-year tribulation. You're going to hope I'm right, okay? But I don't know for sure. All right, so let's jump in. So Tyler took us, we were at this, he took us in Revelation 7. We saw a great multitude standing before the throne of God. And there were people there from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. Can you amen that? What does that say about any kind of discrimination? What does that say? It's not going to be like that in heaven, and we're supposed to be praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so let's get that straight. And they're there at the throne worshiping the Lamb. I'm pretty amped up, aren't I? I'm only reviewing your sermon from last week. I didn't even get into mine. Jim, would you put a mask on, please? You're in the mask-only session. Put the mask on, Jim. Put it on. Or sit over here. Thank you. At this scene in heaven, we're told that people will no longer hunger or thirst. They'll not be affected by scorching heat. I believe that was put in for Texans, okay? No scorching heat. Okay? But rather, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will guide us to springs of living water. And every tear will be washed away, wiped away from our eyes. It's an amazing thing for John to remember. It's a vision he's receiving about things that are going to come. He's a prisoner on the island of Patmos, probably mostly alone. Okay? Maybe chained to a palm tree somewhere, you know? As you get the imagery of this, I don't know if there are palm trees on Patmos. Haven't been there yet. Okay. And the Lord wants him to see there's no tears. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And Tyler then reminded us of the importance of telling people about Jesus now while there's still time. And so that we can take as many people with us to this wonderful destiny called heaven, the presence of God. And Tyler reminded us of the importance. Tyler, I really liked your sermon. Put your mask on. What are you doing? What are these guys doing? Dave, we have enough. Put the mask. Oh, he's drinking. Okay. All right. Tyler reminded us of the importance of being a church that resembles the scene at the throne of God in heaven. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. Now, Brock and I have been doing Brock's running out of here now with the shirt over his. Okay, so Brock and I have been doing this. We've done two podcasts talking about, the first was titled My Journey Through Racism. So you say, Joe, you were a racist? I didn't know anyone that wasn't when I was growing up as a teenager. Yes, I was, and no, I'm not any longer. And it was before I came to know Christ. And then Brock talked about, I gave my experience, Brock gave his journey, and this week, Brock, I haven't told you this yet, we're going to talk about the biblical worldview of the races and different things like that, okay? So, but Tyler did a great job with that. Now, let's pick up where Tyler left off in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, as the Lamb opens up the seventh seal of God's judgment. And remember, this is a vision the Apostle John received, okay? So in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, and this is my scroll, and here's the seventh seal because we already opened the first six, the seventh seal of God's judgment. Okay. It says, when he opened up the seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Okay, So let me just elaborate just a little bit. The seventh seal was opened by the Lamb, and there was silence in heaven. Now, the reason the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was opening the seals is because we learned in the Scriptures only Jesus Christ is worthy to open up the judgments of God on the world. So when you find in your heart you becoming judgmental, make an adjustment. It's not your job to judge the world. That's the job of the Lamb. And as this seventh seal opened, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. And then seven angels stood before God, and each of the seven angels, and I want you to be sitting back and getting this, each of the seven angels were given trumpets. Okay? So within the seventh seal judgment were seven trumpet judgments. Okay? So let's pick up, let's continue verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. A censer is kind of like, you can imagine incense burning within it, a little container, and maybe holding it from a chain, and smoke would be coming out of it, a censer. And it was scented, maybe, you know, beautiful smell. And it says, an angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before God, before the throne, rather. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. So now this picture, again, a vision. It's a vision. But he sees an angel come and holding a censer, and smoke, beautiful, fragrant aroma, is rising up. And it's being presented to God on his throne. And part of that incense, in addition to the incense, were prayers of the saints, of believers in Jesus Christ, their prayers. And the smoke coupled with the prayers rose before God. Now, I want you to think with me for a second, a little poetic license. What were the prayers? We had a little bit of insight because we had some people that were at the throne who had been killed for their faith. And they were crying out to God, when will you make things right? When will you even the score for the people who took our lives because of our faith? So perhaps, Brock, I was thinking about this. Perhaps there were prayers there that involved injustice. Unrighteousness. It's not just injustice. Unrighteousness. Abuse. See, once we get this black and white thing straight, we got a lot more work to do. You know, we got a lot of women, young women being taken advantage of, involved in a type of slavery that is beyond my imagination. Infuriates me to even think, but I'm not supposed to bring that judgment. That's for God, right? Okay. Maybe it was discrimination was part of that. Lawlessness. Are we seeing any of that? Okay. We can't believe we're in America as we watch TV. Godlessness. See, that doesn't bother us as much because we adjust to the darkness in the world. But there's so much godlessness in our nation and in our world. Unbelief, immorality, rebellion, etc., etc. Now listen. We need to remember that as we face these types of things in our world, we are to pray that God will make things right. As we're about to see, he will. Because as I go through these trumpet judgments of God, you're going to be like, how in the world can a loving God do this? Just look around you. Look around you at the things that are taking place in this sinful world. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, got the censer. Now what's in it? Incense? And the prayers, he took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar of God, took fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This vision. The censer filled with fire from the altar of God is thrown to the earth by the angel. As the prayers of the saints coupled with fire from God's altar were thrown to the earth, it was followed by thunder, lightning, and an earthquake. This is God bringing his righteous judgment to mankind. Guys, I'm going to tell you that this is what's coming. You say, when? I say, no one knows. I just want to be ready. I want to be ready for it. Thought number one, I'm going to give you four thoughts today that I want you to think about these things as we see this vision that John was given about what's going to take place. Thought number one, our greatest weapon against evil is prayer. You hear me? There are ramifications because some, I would like to know, people that are protesting the many different things, I want to know, the ones that are Christians, are they putting as much time into prayer as protest? It's just a question. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we march to a different tune. And I'm just telling you that vengeance belongs to God. There will come a day when he will bring every wrong to judgment. That's our hope. That's our hope. But our greatest weapon against evil is prayer. Am I against protest? Absolutely not. That's one of the things, the great things about America. We can stand up and speak to things that are wrong. But we better be praying too. Because that's really what we do as God's people. Now let's look at these trumpets as they start to be unleashed. Verse 6. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. I used to play the trumpet, believe it or not. In third grade, I played the trumpet, Chris, PS 208. And they number the schools. I really don't know why. But they number the schools in Brooklyn. And the band teacher, we had a concert. And he asked to speak to me the day before the concert. He said, you planning to be there tomorrow? It was a spring concert. Do they have those here in Texas? Spring concert, okay? And I'm a trumpet player. He says, Joe, are you going to be there? Of course, I'm part of the band. You planning to play? Yeah. He said, will you do me a favor? I promise. You can bring the trumpet. You can be there. Hold the trumpet up. Just don't blow. What he said to me. Just don't blow it. Okay. No wonder I had a rough childhood. So I was thinking of bringing a trumpet and blowing it for each one of these. And I said, no, I'm going to listen to the band teacher. He said, don't blow the trumpet. I'm not going to blow it. But they were blown. Verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. I struggle with this first one, this trumpet judgment. The green grass thing. Some of you don't have to worry about your grass being burned up. It's already burned up, okay? But hail, fire, mixed with blood, thrown upon the earth, a third of the earth, the trees, and the grass are burned up. The first trumpet involves cataclysmic fire upon the earth. Verse 8. And the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So second angel blows the trumpet, and a great mountain burning with fire, perhaps a meteor, again, it's a vision. John is living it's 70 or 80 years after the death of Christ, okay? So it's more almost 2,000 years ago. And what he sees is what, and he says this meteor type thing comes into the sea, and a third of the aquatic life and shipping vessels are destroyed. Second trumpet involves cataclysmic destruction in the sea. Verse 10. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, which means bitter. And many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The third angel's trumpet brings about a blazing star with a bitter tasting, it has a bitter taste. It falls from heaven in the rivers and the springs, and a third of these waters, fresh waters, become bitter. They cannot be used for drinking any longer. The third trumpet involves the polluting of a third of the world's drinking water. Verse 12. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the sun. Now, if you're saying, wait a second, the moon doesn't really give light. It's a vision. John, with his frame of reference, is watching what happens. The moon, of course, it's the source of the moon's light is the sun. He's not giving a geography set or an astrology session or astronomy. Excuse me. We don't like astrology. No, that's bad. God condemns astrology. It's not an astronomy lesson. He's telling you what he's seeing in a vision. And he says, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. So this fourth trumpet involves the sun, the moon, the stars being darkened, our source of light and heat being diminished by a third. So the fourth trumpet involves the diminishing of our source of light and heat. Now, I want to give you thought number two, things that we can walk away with from this. Thought number two, these first four trumpets involve God taking from us the blessing of the earth, the sea, the rivers, and the skies, things we enjoy but certainly take for granted, aren't they? When did you ever think about that, something would happen to the earth, okay? Or to the sea, or to the rivers, or to the skies. We take these things will be taken away at some point in time. And we take these things for granted. So here's a thought. When is the last time you thanked God for this wonderful earth? Now, you can ask me. I can tell you it was this morning when I was watering my flowers, because I'm always thanking God for that. But I oftentimes forget about the sea, the rivers, and the sky. And maybe we should be grateful for the wonderful earth that God has provided for us. There's no place like earth, right? I mean, we have everything just right so we can live a life and enjoy it. Okay. Now, as bad as these first four trumpets may seem, you ain't seen nothing yet. Verse 13. Then I looked, John says, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, the evil. And he's crying out, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that these three angels are about to blow. We've had four of the seven, but now five, six, and seven, the fifth, sixth, and seventh angel with the trumpets are about to blow their trumpets and bring about that judgment. And this eagle flies over and says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. We move into chapter 9 now, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he, this star, somehow he gives it, it's somehow a person, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The locusts are going to lay off my lawn. Okay. Now listen, the things that I'm sharing, in my limited understanding, I believe the rapture of the church will take place before any of these judgments begin. If you read through Revelation, I believe at the end of chapter 3, and right where chapter 4 starts, the rapture takes place. Which means, if I'm right, which I might not be, some people believe the rapture comes before the seven-year tribulation. Some people believe it comes in the middle. And some people believe it comes at the end. And it's not very clear in the Bible. Maybe we're not supposed to know. Maybe we're not supposed to think we're going to avoid all kinds of judgment, all kinds of suffering. But I hope we are. But if what I think is true, then I and those of you that know Christ, we're gone. We're not experiencing this. Okay? Just want to remind you that. Okay? So back to... I have no idea where I was. Was I in verse 4 or 5? 4, okay. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree of those that are left, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them, who? Those that do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. So the fifth angel, he blows his trumpet. A star falls from heaven, opens up a bottomless pit, and out of the pit come locusts given power to harm people on earth, people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, some would say, well, doesn't that suggest that the church is not raptured yet? Because there are people there. It's not touching the ones who have the seal of God on their foreheads. That's a good point. That's one of the reasons why Gino is over there. Oh, he's trying to get his word in there. Because he believes, is it mid or are you post-trib? Mid. He believes it happens in the middle. But I would say this. There will be people during the tribulation period coming to know Christ. And perhaps it's those that, but we're not sure. Remember, we're not supposed to know. All we know, what do we know about the book of Revelation that we can put the whole, bet the ranch on? What is it? God wins. Jesus wins. Thank you very much. Okay. But we can have fun with this. And I'll tell you what, I'm really hoping it's pre-trib. I don't know why you think mid, Gina, but boy. They'll torment people, these locusts, for 5 months, a time during which people seek death but don't find it. Verse 7. In the appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Again, he's speaking figuratively. He's trying to describe what he sees in a vision. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like woman's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. Sounds like a scary locust to me. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. So these locusts are creatures like John had never seen before. And their king is named in Hebrew the word Abaddon, which means destruction. And in Greek it's Apollyon, which means destroyer. I believe that this is a key leader in Satan's demonic army of angels, of demons. So the fifth trumpet involves physical suffering for people. Physical suffering. Verse 12. The first woe, remember the last three, 5, 6, and 7, he says, woe, 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 these last three are really, and the first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God. This is an altar at God. And the voice, he heard a voice saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, let me just describe to you something that the Bible teaches very clearly. There is a spiritual battle that goes on in the heavenlies that we cannot see. So Paul tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, spiritual forces, powers of darkness that dwell. There are demonic forces and angels that do battle. Okay, don't get scared because, oh my gosh, Joe, you're saying I'm going to get scared. Listen, they've been like that since Satan rebelled against God. Don't worry about it. We have Jesus Christ. He can, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to worry about them. Now, don't open a door. I would recommend, I talked about astrology. Don't be messing with astrology, Christian or not. You mess with that, and you're opening a door in your life for the demonic, for spirits to come into your life that can do damage to you. But this spiritual war, it's been going on, and whether you know about it or not, it's happening. We can really not know a whole lot of what happens. I know one thing, that when we pray, we give energy to the angelic, and that we can pray in the name of Jesus and have authority over the demonic. That I know. Okay? So let's continue. Where was I? Verse 14, maybe, something like that, right? Okay. Saying to the sixth angel, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. Do you see that? These angels are there waiting, and they've been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year, and they were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the fifth is, people are being tormented, but they can't die. This sixth angel blows his trumpet, and the voice instructs from the altar, instructs the four angels bound from the Euphrates River to unleash this judgment that begins to take lives on the earth. These angels had been prepared for a certain moment in time to be released. That has not happened yet. So here's my third thought, third of four. God has carefully, divinely, and perfectly timed all of the events in our world. Now listen, so what does that mean for me? And what does it mean for you? For me, who struggles with anxiety, right? What does that mean for you who struggle with fear and anxiety and worrying? It means stop worrying and stop being impatient. Live your life and allow God to bring about things when he is good and ready. Verse 16. We're almost done. The number of mounted troops that were, the number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number, John says. So I had a call, Ben. Ben, are you here this morning? If you hear Asia, he's not here, okay? Ben does my research for me because I'm like 10,000 times 10,000, and then I got to multiply that by two. My calculator is not long enough, okay? So Ben told me, I called him, he said 200 million. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million, but he said two times, so it's 200 million, okay? So let's continue, verse 17. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates, the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur. And the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths by these three plagues, fire, sulfur, and smoke. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths, and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. So these four angels have with them mounted troops, 200 million, and they're released. And the plagues that come with them are plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur, and the sixth trumpet involves one-third of mankind being killed by these plagues. Verse 20. Last two verses. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. I wish I could cry. I don't cry a lot. Movies make me cry. I wish I could cry. It doesn't mean I'm not broken. I just don't cry. But if that was a way that my body showed remorse, like my friend Chris here, he's crying like four or five times. He's been with us for the last 2 weeks. He cries every day. Every day he's crying and everything. It's overflowing. Maybe it was the rain on Friday night. Maybe it was you. Okay. It's not that I'm not broken. It's just that's not one of the, but I wish in a way I could, but I feel, I'm crying on the inside, on the inside. Listen, I want to read it again. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. God's judgment is always righteous. The Lord, listen, I want to quote a verse to you. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises. Now he was actually, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. And he's talking about the second coming of Christ, which we're talking about. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient, he's patient in his return, in allowing these things to be unleashed. He's patient. Why? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet, even in the midst of these unbelievable trumpet judgments, the seal judgments were bad. The trumpets, by the way, in the seventh trumpet are the seven bowl judgments, and they're even worse. We'll leave that for a couple of weeks. We'll jump into chapter 10 next week. But people, they don't repent. They won't repent and bow their knees before their creator, their maker, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the loving Savior of the world. So I'm not crying on the outside. Chris, would you stand up and shed a couple of tears? But I'm crying on the inside. But I'm also motivated to get out, like Tyler said last week, and let everyone know about Jesus and what he's done for them and what he wants to do. The remaining two-thirds of mankind who were not killed refuse to repent. Thought number four. Pride can be a powerful, life-dominating sin that prevents people from repenting of their sins and worshiping God and Jesus. You know, that pride that prevents us from repenting of our sins and worshiping God and Jesus, some believers allow that pride to creep in. So here's a thought. When's the last time that most of us here are believers, not everyone. Some of you here are hearing this, and you might say, wow, this is crazy. This is a vision. Okay, this is a vision given to a man that was living on the earth over 2,000 years ago. He sees this thing happening, and he writes, you try and have a vision like this. You try and write it out. Good luck, right? He's writing it out to help us know that Jesus wins and that we have a chance now to get right with him. And yet, people, they refuse to repent. But as a Christian, when's the last time you humbled yourself before God and repented of your sins? When's the last time you did that? See, I think that that's probably a great thing for all of us to do on a regular basis. You said, Joe, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He sure did. He rose again. He sure did. He paid the full price for our sins. He sure did. So I'm forgiven. You sure are, but you can still repent of your sin so he can wash it away. You're not going to pay the price of your sin as a follower of Christ, but you want to carry the consequences of unrepentant sin? You know, my two sons are here, okay? And I love having them here. Now, we're pretty close. Everything's great right now. But let's say, Chris, when you come to the house today for our barbecue, let's say you drive across the grass in the front. I mean, it could happen. You got the big pickup truck. I mean, it could happen, right? And you make you drive across and you pull out the flowers. You bring your dog over, let him in before I can stop. He rips up all my flowers. Okay. I'm still your father, but I'm really mad at you. And it would probably be a good thing for you to say, "Dad, I'm really sorry." Now listen, you're forgiven because I love you. I'll always love you. You're my son. But it probably would be nice for you to say, "Hey, Dad, I'm really sorry that I did something that really hurt you." And that keeps the relationship open. When we as Christians confess our sins to God, we're not getting forgiven. We are forgiven. We're being cleansed. We're restoring the relationship to the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing between us. Now listen, I'll tell you right now. You drive over my grass and pull out my flowers, you can apologize all you want. There's still going to be a little something between us because I'm not God, okay? But all he asks us to do is to, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from the unrighteousness. So as I close this morning, worship team, you can come on up. I want to summarize these four thoughts for you. Because as much as we're studying what's going to happen at the end, we don't know when. Chances are it might not be in our lifetime. Okay? But we want to be ready. So here's how we take these things and apply them. Number one, thought number one. Our greatest weapon against evil is and always will be prayer. We do the other things, but we make sure we pray. Number one. Number two, since we are told that someday God will destroy the things on this earth, why not take some time to thank God for these things while we still have them before they're destroyed? Thought number three. Since God has carefully and divinely and perfectly timed all the events in our world, why not stop worrying and being impatient? And number four, since we know that pride can be a powerful, life-dominating sin that prevents people from repenting of their sins and worshiping God and Jesus Christ, why not humble ourselves before God and on a regular basis repent of our sins? Lord, we come before you now as your people. We thank you, Lord, for these warnings that we're receiving as we study the book of Revelation. We know that you win, and Lord, I believe that as we study this, you said we would be blessed when we study this book. And I believe it blesses us because it gives us hope. Regardless of what's happening and how things are falling apart around us, we know that you've got this and that someday that these things are going to happen, but we know you're going to bring us to you. And we also, Lord, have the opportunity as we're reminded of these things to make sure that we're ready. That we're ready. And if you return, we're ready to meet you. Would you help us to do that? In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing the song, and you can sing along with us or you can read along with us. As it starts out, it sounds like a Christmas song, but it's not. The song is really cool, but it does start from the beginning, before Jesus came to the earth, and it goes all the way through to his second coming.
Little town of Bethlehem, it's like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, the shining King has left.
God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, the little town of Jerusalem, it's like another silent night. The Father gave his only son, the way, the truth, the light had come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky. Yeah. For the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away. What will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, we will go down in history as a nation with no room for its king. Will we be sleeping? Will we? United States of America looks like another silent night.
Gosh, those are hard words to hear, right? America, all that we've been given, and there's no room for our king. Man, I don't know where that landed on you, but and I think about the four things that Joe said again this morning in prayer. We were supposed to step forward and in thanksgiving, all the stuff that we've been given, and yet there's no room for our king. And with repentance and patience for such a time as this, that's the way we're supposed to live our life. And so, guys, we're imploring you. Jesus is imploring us right now to do and be different. Because I want him to have room in my heart for my king. That's what I'm trying to do. I know that's what we're imploring. That's what Joe's imploring us to do in this series, is to have room for our king. So let's go. Let's be different. It's time. It's time. A couple announcements, and Chris is going to join me on stage in just a second. In regards to the prayer that Joe was talking about, Tuesday nights is our prayer service at 7 p.m. If you want to join the small group, the House of Prayer small group that Gino leads at 6 p.m., you can do that. I'd love for you to do that. VBS and youth camp kick off this week. We're going to try to have a summer as normal as we can. And so Concrete and Cranes is our VBS theme. Parents, if you have kids or aunts or uncles or grandparents, you could register online. It's from June 14th on through July 29th. It's on Wednesday night. So we're going to replace our normal Wednesday night programming for VBS this year. And sign up is helpful. And that'd be great for us to plan because we do have caps and quotas that the state is asking us to follow there. Youth camp is on Thursday at 4 p.m. Times will vary weekly as Travis will be pushing that out to you. So if you have a student, love to join you or love for them to join us on June 25th through July 23rd as well. We also have a new homepage. And so I just want to throw that up there for just a second. As we continue to tweak what we're doing, and we want to be a better communicator, and we love your input. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So as you see there, we've condensed the page where it's a little bit easier to find information, and the most important things are going to be rotating around like a deck of cards. And so as soon as that image comes up of something that you're interested in, you click on that, and that will take you directly to the page to find more info there. And so just want to know that we're continuing the work in communication so that we could do that. So thanks you so much for you guys for your patience as well. Chris, why don't you come on up? Let's give Chris Fedeli a round of applause. Hey, brother. Yeah. So it's been such a joy getting to know you while you've been here this week, and we want to send you off. But first, I know you're going to share a little bit more of your heart of what we're sending you off to.
Thanks,
all right.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Joey, for letting me share here. It's really a blessing. The way Joey said it today, and the Spirit is really moving, and God is moving in my heart more now than ever before. And it's just been such a learning experience here at Crossroads, having Joey as a pastor and the leaders that you have, Tyler, Brock, Travis, Parker, Gino, and the many others that are part of this church. You're in the right church. Here is where you should be. Very important. The Word of God is true, and Joey is sharing from his heart, and that's what really matters. I've been praying all week about what I'm going to share because it's my last day here. I'm heading up to Massachusetts doing a road trip. It's going to take me about a 28-hour drive, so please keep me in prayer. I'm going to do my cousin's memorial. He passed away this past Thursday. So just keep me in prayer on that end. But something moved me to a scripture verse. Even Tyler touched with it a little bit, and I want to share with you. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 11, I believe. Let me see if I got that right. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily. Mightily, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. And it shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. Make a change, yes. I've made that change. Do what God requires me to do, and that's what I'm doing. God moved me and I put in my life a beautiful woman named Jenny. Now she's Jenny Fedeli. We've been married for over 2 years. She's from India. I've been to India 5 times in the last 4.5 years. I stayed there 3-4 months at a time, and I planted a church there. We have about 25 people that come to our house. But because of the pandemic, things have slowed down a little bit, but now they're going to start up a little bit again. And then God moved me from there to come here to Crossroads Church and to spend time with Joey. And I've learned so much from him. I learned to be patient. I learned not to judge, which is so important, because do not judge, lest you be judged. And that's the truth. And I had that problem. I'd look at people, I'd look at churches, and I'd look at everybody's faults. Look at your own faults. I had to look at my own faults. And a great thing that Joey said at the end is repent. Repent from our sins daily. Because we all have sin in our lives. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we have to bring those sins to the cross daily. Anything that it might be. And also the weakness that we are found in sometimes because of things that happen in our lives. We lose a brother, we lose a mother, we lose a father, we lose a sister, we lose a cousin. I lost my cousin, which is like a brother to me. I spoke to him June 9th while I was in Arkansas on my way down here. And we were FaceTime, and I always shared the gospel with him, but he said, yeah, I believe, like a lot of people say they believe. But this time it was different. I don't know if he knew what was going to happen to him, but he had a cross on, and he kept on taking that cross and kissing it and said, listen, cuz, look, I found this cross. I had it for a long time. My wife gave me a chain to put it on, and Jesus is in my heart. He says, Jesus loves me. I know that. And when I heard him say that, I was like, wow. He says, I'll be praying for you, cuz, when you go to Texas, and, you know, I'll see you when you come back up there, because my plans were to leave here and then go up to spend time with my cousin. But now I'm going there to do his memorial. So this is the thing, though. I can rejoice in my weakness because I know he's going to be in heaven because he accepted Christ. Because if you truly accept Christ, he goes into your heart. 17 years ago, I accepted Christ. 17 years ago, the seed was planted. I mean, 17 years. When I was 17, 1973, now I gave away my age, the seed was planted in me. But I kept on quenching his spirit. I kept on quenching it, and I just lived my life. And then Joey came along in 1983, and he watered the seed that was in me. And I started to flourish, and boy, was I on fire for God. I was going to save the world. No way. Then I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And my life was, I could write 5 books about what happened in my life. But I finally came to the decision, probably like 2005, that I have to make up my mind. What am I going to do? Am I going to put both feet in, or am I going to live in a world? It had to be one or the other. And I chose to put both feet in. And ever since then, I've been truly blessed, even in my times of trials and tribulations. Even in a heartache and pain, I can get through it all. I can get through it all through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And he strengthens us. But we have to walk with him. We have to walk with him daily, not just part-time. We have to make a commitment. If we don't make that commitment, it's not going to be any good. He's going to say, where were you? Did you feed my sheep? Did you tend my flock? The hungry, the poor, the naked, the blind. Go visit a person in a nursing home. Now I know you can't. But these things are what God wants us to do. Most of all, he says, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. Now my wife is waiting for me. Please pray that her visa goes through because she's never been to the United States before. And that I can get her here. Because I also started to plant a church on Staten Island, where I'm from. And I did it down the beach, because you aren't allowed in any buildings. And the first week I had 25 people, and the second week I had 35 people. The third week I was in Texas. I don't know how I got here. But when I go back, I'm definitely going to continue, and I'm going to see where God leads me with this, because I know he's going to use me. I've been getting so many phone calls, Joey knows. Most of the time when I'm not doing nothing, I'm on the phone and counseling or just trying to lift somebody up. Because look at the way where the world is heading in and what's going on in it. And it is scary, and you have a right to be scared. But we have strength. We have strength in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and don't ever forget that. And lift up this pastor here and keep on praying for him. Because the devil is mean. He's out to kill and destroy. And just like he said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against spiritual forces from heavenly places that are dark and evil. And they're out to kill us. And they don't want us to be doing this here. They don't want to see church together. They don't want to see church broken up. That's why they're closing down all the buildings. So, I don't want to keep everybody here so long. Just want to thank you again. And just God bless everybody. And just keep on looking to the Lord. And let him give you the strength that you need. First seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then all things will be added to you. God bless everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Joe, why don't you come on up? Chris, why don't you stay? And Joe's going to pray over you.
So, Chris, just stand down here. I'm going to ask all of you to stand. We're going to dismiss in a second. But Chris, we have Emmanuel in Ghana. And he's a church planter of ours, and he's doing a great job, young man.
And now we got an older, not old, older than you, more than 30, right? So, there it is. Okay. So I want you to reach out a hand to Chris, and as he goes back, Chris, we're sending you. He came here. We talked a little bit. He's all by himself, and I said, Chris, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna take you under my wing, and we're gonna just try and pour into you. And he came out here. I had him running with me everywhere I went. Everywhere he wore out at the end. I wore him out. Okay. But now you're going to go back, Chris, and I'll tell you, you have not seen a person love people the way he loves them. He's on the phone constantly, all day long, ministering to people, Facebook and everything else. And we affirm your calling, Chris. We think right now it's the Planet Church, but like you said, we're going to come alongside you. And whatever it is, you're going to take it one step at a time, because right now you're outside in the beach, and I do think it gets cold in New York. So maybe come November, December, you know, but we don't know what's going to happen. But we're with you as a church. I'm with you. My staff is with you. And our church is with you. We're going to pray for you. So I want to just pray for him. Pray anointing. Gina, you have the oil? Okay. Gina, you anoint him with oil. Okay. Put it right on the top. He's got a little bald spot like me. So get it right on the top. Put the oil there. Let it flow down. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Chris, you want a little more, right? Okay. Okay, it represents the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we lift Chris before you now. He was ordained in India, and here he is now in Texas being sent. We affirm your calling on his life, not only as a follower of Christ, but as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as a church affirm that, and we are so grateful for the privilege of standing with him. He's on the front lines. He's right there in the middle of it all, and we're sending him, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. And with our love and blessing, we're sending him, Lord. I pray that we would continue to pray for him, not just me and not just Gino and Tyler, but the church. Help us to find ways to support him. And, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do through him, whatever we can do to help you do that, would you just show us what it is? Thank you, Lord, that he is in a strong place financially, and he doesn't really need finances, but he needs support and care and love, and he needs our prayers. So we pray for Chris. Now, Lord, as he goes to Massachusetts, he's going to be meeting with a lot of people that drink a lot of alcohol and do a lot of drugs. But I pray that as he goes to do the memorial service, that he'll bring Jesus there, and that they'll come to know you, Lord. And then when he goes back to the flock that you're building for him in Staten Island, that he'll be Jesus to them. Help him develop leaders and raise up people to help him with the work. And we commit him into your hands, Lord. We're sending Chris with our love, our prayers, and our blessing. And we pray this together as God's people and as the local church, Crossroads Arlington. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Thank you, Chris. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. You are dismissed.